thank the Lord. We consider brother and sister Kyle, your wonderful pastor. Don't you have a great pastor and wife in this church? Amen. Wonderful folks. They always treat us with such great hospitality and kindness, and we appreciate it so very much. We're blessed today to have wonderful friends back with us in the service. Sister Dee Dee, God bless her. We always round her up when we come down here. Amen. And Sophie, and God's work in their life. We got to meet Dee Dee's father, Jim. Amen. God bless Jim. These are spirit-filled folks. Amen. It's always good to have spirit-filled folks around. Amen. My wife and I have been married 32 years and still got some fireworks every once in a while. I'll let you figure out what that's all about. Amen. I realize you're standing. I'm going to let you be seated just for a second, but don't get comfortable because we'll come right back up. But I want to show you a very quick video, if they can play it. I don't think we practiced it before the service, but I was in the nation of Vanuatu just for a little crusade just recently, and there were many healings and some miracles and some outpour of the Holy Ghost. And turn the volume up. These are some of the testimonies. She was having stomach problems and God healed her. This man's knee had been injured. His knee was injured. Now he's jumping up and down on it. We're having the crusade in the very site where the hurricane had blown away the headquarters church.
I want to give a testimony concerning the meeting last night with Brother Clandins. Yesterday night he prayed, as you prayed for a miracle. I was standing before a lady. She was blind. And the moment Brother Clandins mentioned blind eyes opened, received sight, I was putting my hands on the lady's eyes. And when we finished praying, the lady opened her eyes and she saw me. And she was shed in tears because she has received her sight. Praise the Lord.
He laid hands on a lady who was blind and she received her sight in that service.
And by the power of the name Jesus, I release your miracle now. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
I want you to lift your hands across the auditorium and rejoice with these. Over 100 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that service, speaking with other tongues for the very first time. 50 brand new people were baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went on and on and on, all over the house. Could you give the Lord high praise? High praise. That's just a little island out in the middle of the ocean. As a matter of fact, I told them when I was looking for them, I couldn't find you because you were under the N of their name. The dot for their island was actually under the title of the name. That's a small island when it gets like that right there. But you know, the Lord knows where they are and hears their prayers, just like he hears your prayers wherever you are. We're going to go to the word of the Lord today because I am going to be speaking to you kind of in a little different style than perhaps you're used to me, a little different type of a message, as we're talking about spiritual warfare. And I wanted to tag in with that, with the local church, and add some fire and revelation to this idea of spiritual warfare. So reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse number 16, and then also from Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. And I think they're going to follow along with me on this PowerPoint. But just fair warning, I have a tendency sometimes to say things I didn't plan on saying. So this is going to be an approximation. Hopefully they'll be with me most of the time. But if I get to freelancing off of some stuff, they'll have to catch up when I get back to the notes. Revelations 19 and 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh This is speaking of our Lord, a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And again in Revelation 17, 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Somebody shout, Jesus. I am going to begin talking to you about spiritual warfare. You may be seated. Those of you that are standing, God bless. I want to talk to you about reminding you about the lordship of Jesus Christ. There is nothing more powerful in your life than coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when you begin to establish the kingdom of God in your life, in the lives of your family, in a church or in a community, you are involved in the process of spiritual warfare. And I believe it is the will of God for every one of us to be involved in the process of expanding and enlarging the lordship of Jesus Christ. I've come to declare him Lord today. How about you? I've come to declare Jesus Christ Lord of glory. He's the Lord of all. Spiritual warfare is necessary to overcome demonic resistance. And that resistance is resistance to the lordship of Jesus Christ in the lives of people, including our own. If you want to talk about where does the lordship of Jesus need to begin, it needs to begin in my life. You need his lordship in your home, in your family. And that's why one of the most important things, of course, we begin by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, repenting of our sins, being filled with his Spirit, being baptized in his name. And all of this is the process of coming under his lordship. I have said for a long time now, and I can intend to continue saying it to all of us Spirit-filled Christians, it is not enough to be filled with the Spirit. We must be governed by the Spirit. We must be led by the Spirit. We must be directed by the Holy Spirit. The lost are specifically described as being blinded by the devil. The lost people of the world are called captives. They are in captivity. They are lost and blind and captive and even dead in trespass in sin. Therefore, the lordship of Jesus must be established. The influence that the devil has upon the souls of men and women must be defeated. And that's where we come in. Those of us who have already been set free. I saw our brother up here leading. He's dancing around, jumping and twirling and shouting and yelling freedom. And all the singers were singing freedom. And we're all shouting freedom. I do believe he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. What a freedom we have. Thank God for the freedom we have to worship. We can lift up holy hands, amen, and shake off those heavy bands. I'm not bound today. I'm free to worship. I'm free to lift my voice. I'm not too embarrassed to let out a shout of praise. I'm not too embarrassed to clap my hands. I'm not too intimidated to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not too intimidated to be excited about living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not intimidated about studying his word and walking in this way they call holiness. Somebody said amen. Because I have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. And I'd also go as far as to say, I thank God for the religious freedom that we have had in the United States of America. I heard a politician say recently, I believe he's the governor of Louisiana, he said, religious freedom did not birth America. America birthed religious freedom. Amen. I am here to tell you, and I need to stop right there because I just said that backwards. And I will make sure I get it right. America did not birth religious freedom. Religious freedom birthed America. I want to make sure I get that right. Religious freedom birthed America. We are here today in this land of the free and home of the brave because there is people that were looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ as the author and the finisher of their faith. We are one nation under God because somebody knew how to pray before there was a United States of America, because somebody knew how to call on the God of heaven, and somebody wanted the right to exercise a freedom to worship. So here we are on any given Sunday with the right to gather and the right to free assembly and the right to lift our voices and the right to sing these songs. And I thank God because I've traveled all over the world and I've been to countries where that freedom does not exist. And when you get ready to head to the polls, I would like to remind you, you should take a little time and you should look into the platforms of the two major parties and you should see which one of them is supporting and helping and undergirding religious freedom in America. Because we are under attack like never before, and Christianity is under attack. Religion is not under attack. Christianity is under attack. God is not under attack until you name him Jesus, and then suddenly it's a problem. It's okay to have a holy book unless it's the Bible. And so I think we as Christians, part of coming under the lordship of Jesus is being unintimidated to speak his name and declare his word and to let it be known, I am a Christian. You can get nervous because I'm talking about politics if you want to, but politics is important. Amen. And so is religion. And those are the two things nobody ever wants to talk about, politics and religion. And politics has to do with the way we live our lives here. If you don't think politics matter, just move to another country. You'll find out where the government's different, your life is different. And so politics has to do with the conditions we live our life in here. Religion is going to have to do with the conditions we live eternity in. So I think it's two of the most important subjects you could ever talk about. Somebody ought to give the Lord some high praise. I pray right now for the United States of America, and I pray for our future, and I pray for this upcoming election, and I pray that God, you will smile on our nation, you will give favor upon our nation, and Lord, you will favor your church, that we could continue in religious freedom and have the freedom to preach this gospel from the rooftops, on the internet, on television, in local churches, and on the streets when it's necessary, and we give you the praise. Can you say praise the Lord? The next slide is a prophetic declaration of power. I feel so strong to speak this in this assembly today. When you start entering into warfare and you start talking about all the things we're battling for, again, the kingdom of light versus darkness, there is a prophetic declaration of great power. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So I want to prophesy into your life right now. For whatever battle you're fighting, the Lord gives you power to tread on serpents. That means they're going to be under your feet. And scorpions. You know, if you look at serpents and scorpions, that's kind of an interesting thing. A serpent's a snake, and a snake strikes with its head. And a scorpion has that big tail with the stinger on the end. And the scorpion strikes with its tail. So a snake strikes with its head, but a scorpion strikes with its tail. He said, I've given you power over both, so heads or tails, we win. I said, heads or tails, we win. Serpents or scorpions, I don't know what you're fighting with. I don't know if you're dealing with the deceptive, subtle, seducing spirits, or if you're dealing with someone that is trying to sting you, harm you, hurt you, or destroy you. But whatever your circumstance, I've come to prophesy into your life right now. The Lord gives you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And not only that, but over all the power of your enemy. Somebody ought to shout, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We've come to declare you the Lord. We come under your lordship in our lives. We come under the lordship in our families. Lord Jesus, I today submit the Kleindienst family under your lordship. May our marriage be under your lordship. May our boys that are now coming to marrying age be under your lordship. Lord God, I pray that our finances would be under your lordship. That our careers and our futures and our destinies be under your lordship. Direct our steps. steps. Order our path. Not my way, but thy way. Not my will, but your will. Not my understanding, but your understanding. I trust you more than I trust myself. I trust your power greater than my power. I trust that you're able to break every chain, open every door, destroy every adversary. Lord, I trust you. Somebody should give praise and glory to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today. Lord, be the Lord of the United States of America. I proclaim Jesus Christ, Lord of this nation, Lord of this state of Florida, Lord of this community of West Palm Beach, Lord of this church, and Lord of our lives. Somebody shout, Jesus! I want to tell this story real quick, and I can see I got a long way to go, but I was in the nation of Pakistan. We were right downtown in the city of Islamabad. Pakistan is the Islamic nation, the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, 98%. And so we were having a healing service. People were getting healed, and I was getting ready to move into the speaking of the word of faith. And as I was getting ready to do that, I just had a very short visual image. It would be a vision. And I remembered and saw in my mind's eye as the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho 7 times and they fell. And we were in a big area, big YMC grounds with giant walls for our protection and 3 layers of security and all that. And I thought, well, Lord, you want us to go out and march around the walls? What do you want me to do here? And I got a lot of people. We had probably, 40,000 people. I'm like, it's going to get a little crazy. But as we were doing that, I remembered on top of that being in a place where I had the people just shouting the name of Jesus. And so I thought, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Right here, downtown Islamabad in Pakistan, we're getting ready to have a miracle. But just so everybody knows who's doing the work, just so everybody knows where the power's coming from, I said, before you get healed, we're going to shout his name. Before the power falls, we're going to shout his name. And had 40,000 people in downtown Islamabad, Pakistan, at the top of their voice, 7 times shouting, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And on that 7th time, I released them to worship. The power of God hit that place. 8 people who were blind were instantaneously healed. People were being healed of every manner of diseases. Amen. But when the night was over, nobody was confused who had the power and who did the work. Somebody shout hallelujah. Would you clap your hands, because Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he is the Lord over your situation and your circumstance. I'm going to move a little quickly through a few foundational points here. Don't worry about if you can keep up on the screen, that's fine, but just a few foundational broad strokes. When you look into an introduction of spiritual warfare, basically it boils down to this. There are 2 worlds. One is spiritual and one is natural. There is a spiritual world and a natural world, a spiritual world and a fleshly world. Sounds like pastor's been very keenly reminding us of the fleshly side of these things, and we have to deal with the natural world. But that natural world is constantly being influenced by the spiritual world. And governments are influenced by the spiritual realm. Churches are influenced by the spiritual realm. Your family, that's what's so good about coming to church. You put your life under the influence of the anointing and of the prophetic and of the glory of God. And you may not even catch everything said or understand everything done, but just being here allows the influence of the spiritual kingdom to come into your world. On that next slide, in the 2 kingdoms, especially in the spiritual world, they are inhabited by what we call angels and demons. Angels are of the kingdom of light. Demons are of the kingdom of darkness. And so there is a struggle in the spirit realm. And we, as fleshly beings, get caught up in the middle of the struggle because we're the prize. We're what they're fighting for. The souls, eternal souls of men and women. So when you look at the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of light, there are some primary forces or primary beings you will find. The Bible speaks of angels called cherubims and seraphims and ministering spirits. Cherubims are those attendants of the Lord's host. They call attention to his holiness. It's the cherubims that are around the throne crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. From morning to night, they remind the heavens of the holiness and the purity and the righteousness of our great God and Savior. Those seraphims operate in a guarding capacity. It was a seraphim that was put outside the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned and were no longer allowed entrance into the garden. So the seraphim with the sword was placed there to guard the entrance and keep them from coming in. It was seraphims that are on the top of the Ark of the Covenant with their wings spread, touching one another just over the mercy seat where the blood would be shed and the glory of God would come in. And they were the guardians of that holy place. And the Bible speaks of ministering spirits. And I believe in these things. I believe that when you get into prayer, and I believe in your home, ministering angels can come. I believe ministering spirits can come into your car on your drive to work. I told my son the other day, he's got a little drive in the mornings now, about 25 minutes to work every morning, and he'd been working real close, and he's a little discouraged. I said, son, let that be your time. Put your music on and begin to talk to the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. You've got 25 minutes every morning to pray with your eyes open on the way to work. Hallelujah. The Bible does say watch and pray. Hallelujah. Now, I believe you can get in prayer. The Bible speaks of ministering spirits coming to Jesus. I don't want to get too spooky. Us Pentecostals have a tendency to get real spooky when we get spiritual, you know. And I don't really believe in being spooky, but I believe you can get into prayer and you can fall off into prayer until you kind of get lost to the things of this world. And ministering angels can come. And ministering spirits can come and put things in your spirit. Amen. Now, I'm not one who personally ascribes to the fact that you leave your body. Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But sometimes our consciousness can leave the consciousness of what's going on around me. And our consciousness can become aware of things happening in another place. Maybe even in another country. I believe your spirit's still right there in your body. But God, with his infinite knowledge, can open your understanding to see things happening in another place. Ministering angels can come and speak to you of things to come and things that will be. And sometimes you don't even remember it. Sometimes you're not even consciously aware, but they have ministered to your emotion and to your spirit when you come out of those deep places of prayer. Next slide. Prominent angels you'll be aware of in the kingdom of light are Gabriel and Michael. Gabriel is a messenger angel called the Mighty One. It was Gabriel that tore open the sky and spoke to Mary, said, you're going to bear a child. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. It was Gabriel who spoke peace on earth, goodwill toward men, those messenger angels. And one third of the angels, I believe, that are of heaven are messenger angels. There are thousands of messenger angels that could be dispatched to speak to you, to bring messages from on high, to come into worship services like we're in right here. It was an angel that came, Gabriel, that came to Daniel and told him you had prevailed, but he had been detained by the prince of Persia for just a little while Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days. Then Michael's that warring angel, the one who is like God. Michael is that angel that is ascribed to Israel and is the angel of Israel. And I believe that there are angels of the Lord that are encamped around about those that serve the Lord. And I believe there are angels that can fight for us and war for us and be released on our behalf. Why are we victims when we have so much power at our disposal? Why are we intimidated when the angels, the mighty host of heaven, is ready to come and stand? Some of us are like that young man that rode with the prophet Elijah, and he went out and saw they were surrounded by their adversary, and that man of God prayed and said, Lord, open up his eyes that he can see. And when he saw a mighty host of angels all around over top of their enemy. Amen. He said, there are more that be with us than they that be with them. I think it's time we get over our intimidation and we get over our fear and we stop being afraid. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And the angels of the Lord are encamped around about the righteous. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that angelic covering and that angelic protection upon your household. I pray it upon your family. I pray it upon you while you're in your cars driving, while you're out shopping and working in the world. I pray it upon your home while you're sleeping. praying. I pray it around your children while they're in school. I don't know, but if I had a children in elementary school, middle school, or high school today, I think I'd go out in my car. I'd drive around that school, and I'd pray, Lord, send your mighty host of angels around this school. You keep some madman from walking in here and killing these little babies. You plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can sit home and be afraid, or you can go out and lift up your voice and speak in the name of Jesus and ask for the angelic help of heaven. Oh, would you clap your hands and give the Lord praise? I feel power. I feel the anointed power of the heavenlies in this place today. In the kingdom of darkness, without going into a deep explanation, we're aware of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. I could go into every one of them and explain them specifically. They're in the spiritual warfare book on powerupmentoring.com, but spiritual wickedness in high places is the one I find myself dealing with the most. What I've decided is, why get down here in the ground troops? Why get down here trying to worry about, is there a demon in that plant right there? Or if the microphone squeals, is there a demon in the cords? And I'm not going to get hung up on all these little ground troops and trying to find out every little demon and every little thing. I don't even believe in all that. You know what I'm going after? Let's go after the ones that are in the high places. Amen. Let's go after the prince and powers of the air and the prince and powers of darkness. And when we get dominion over those things, everything associated with them will fall and go with it. If you're dealing with any kind of addictions and stuff, don't get hung up on the spirit of Budweiser or the spirit of wine or the spirit of Marlboro. That's just crazy. Deal with the spirit of bondage. Amen. Bondage is a spirit that causes you to do things you wish you were not doing, and not be able to stop doing things you wish you could stop doing. That's what the spirit of bondage is, keeping you in a hold, in a lifestyle you want to be free from. You bind that spirit of bondage and you'll be loosed and set free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about the spirit of panic attacks and the spirit of a nervous breakdown and the spirit of all that. Just deal with the spirit of fear. That'll take care of everything that goes along with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Push that big domino down and that whole dimension will fall in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, I feel the anointing today breaking yokes, destroying chains. The most prominent angel in that dimension is the fallen angel Lucifer. He was a worshiping angel, called an angel of glory or the son of the morning. I'd just like to remind you today, so oftentimes we get to thinking, you know, it's God and the devil. It's not God and the devil. There's no comparison to God. There's no equal to God. He said, there's no God beside me. I know not any. Amen. There's only one God. Amen. That's the first. The devil's the first one to ever get that revelation. Let me read it to you. Revelations 12:7. There was war in heaven. Michael, his angels, fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more for them. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. The devil got this idea. I'm going to lift my throne up to be by the throne of God. My throne's going to be above the throne of the Most High. And I'm going to have a throne up here just like God has. And he got the first revelation anybody ever got it. There's only one God. And you ain't him. There's only one throne, and you won't be sitting on it. And so the devil was cast down to earth with the revelation, there's only one God. That's why the Bible says, if you believe in one God, thou doest well. The devils believe also and tremble. They tremble when they remember there's only one God, and there'll ever only be one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You want to know a great spiritual warfare principle? When the devil looks in your eyes, he needs to see you have a revelation of the mighty God in Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the first, the last, which is, which was, which is to come. There's nobody like Jesus. He said before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to stone him because they realized he was making himself God. His name was Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. Jesus Christ was either the manifestation of the invisible God of glory. He was either the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or he was the biggest imposter that has ever lived. He was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was Lord. What choose you? I say Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I believe he's Elohim, wrapped up in human flesh, walking this world. It gets a little better. Hold on. So if Jesus Christ was God headquartered on planet Earth, if Jesus was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in a human body walking on the earth, then he looked at them and said, I am with you, but I shall be in you. Said, I must go away, but I must send the Comforter. So guess what happened at Pentecost? Amen. That wasn't Jesus with us. That's Jesus in us. Amen. The same God that was in Christ now dwells in our mortal bodies. I've got the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in here. I've got the God of glory in here. There's only one God. There's only one Spirit. He was the God of all eternity, headquartered in Christ and now dwelling in his church. And if God be for us, who? I'm almost out of time, but so the devil gets cast out of heaven. He goes into the garden, begins his attack on mankind. In the garden, Adam had dominion. He already had dominion in the garden. He was made in the image of God. I believe when God made Adam, stood him up on his feet, he said, when I show up, that's what I'm going to look like, just so you know. And he had dominion. He had dominion because of three conditions that Adam had. None of this is in the notes. I'm freelancing here. Adam had intimate, right relationship with God. He came every day in the cool of the day and communed with God. He had a relationship of prayer and communion with the Lord. He had authority because it was the very word of God that gave him authority and spoke to him and gave him dominion over all things. He had power because it was the breath of God that breathed into Adam and gave him the very breath of life. He had the power of God. So he had relationship, authority, and power. And when he didn't use it, you lose it. And so Eve was subtly deceived. Adam participated willfully. They lose their authority and power and relationship, and they're cast out of the garden. And so God was with man, and things went along, man in his fallen condition. But they didn't have dominion until here comes the last Adam, born of a woman. And here he comes, and he leads captivity captive. He goes to the cross, righteous. He died and took care of all the sin of mankind and paid the price of the penalty of their sin. He goes into hell and gets the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and comes out victorious and powerful, and tells them you must be born again. He said you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You know why he said that? Because that's the way he made Adam to begin with. The Bible says in Genesis 1 that a mist went up and watered the whole face of the ground. So he put water on the dust. And then the Bible says that God breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul. He put breath or spirit in the dust. When God got water on the dust and spirit on the dust, Adam came alive. That's why he said you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Because if we can get you in the water, you do know you are but dust. If we can get you in the water and get the Spirit in you, you've been born again of water and Spirit. And the apostles come along and they explain the way to us. They said, "We're guilty, men and brethren, what shall we do?" In Acts 2:37, then Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It's what we call the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection. Do you realize what happens? When we repent of our sins, which is dying with Christ, our relationship is restored. When you repent, you don't have to hide from God anymore. When you repent, you don't have to run from the church anymore. When you repent, you're back in relationship. Let's talk this thing out now. All you have to do to get your relationship right is just repent again. That's our death. And then we're buried with him in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The phrase "in the name of" means in the authority of, in the authority of the name Jesus. There's no authority higher than the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So when you are baptized in water, it's not just a symbol. It's not just a church sacrament. It's not just a nice thing to do. It is literally being submerged in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I might remind you, when you speak that name Jesus, it brings his blood. Because in Acts chapter 5 verse 28, when they brought the disciples in and beat them for preaching all over Jerusalem, they said, "You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you have preached this name Jesus, and you intend to bring his blood upon us." And they commanded them, "No more preaching in the name of Jesus." They didn't want the name of Jesus because they didn't want his blood. But we want his blood. So we baptize in the name of Jesus. And we declare the name of Jesus. And we worship the name of Jesus. Because we know his blood is in his name. That's how you know my sons are my sons. They're my blood because they have my name. So now we got our authority back. And when your spirit filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, Acts 1 and 8 says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Do you realize what the death, burial, and resurrection does? What repenting and being baptized in water and spirit does? Repenting restores your relationship. Water baptism restores your authority. And spiritual baptism restores your power. We are now in the place of spiritual dominion. We are in a place now where the power of God rests with us. And we can be vessels used of the Lord to do the work of the kingdom of God. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. We didn't get here by accident. We didn't just stumble through here not knowing which way we're going, not understanding what we're doing. Our eyes are not dim. This is the revelation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I think I'm going to have to jump ahead here a little bit. I got so much. Go ahead. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 slides till you see the side that says 4 stages of warfare. Stage 1, the battle. I'll end with this. Stage 1, the battle. It's about 9 slides ahead of where we were. 4 stages of warfare. I'm going to end with this and just kind of walk you through 4 stages of the battle that we are in. Stage 1, we call it the battle. It's strength against strength. When you first enter into warfare, you're in a situation where the enemy resists you. You say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he says, "Nope." "Say unto that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea," and you tell it to move and it just sits there stubbornly. David and Goliath. David runs out there to meet Goliath. Goliath doesn't turn and run. He says, "Well, who are you? Come to me, what do you got there, sticks and stones?" He says, "You come to me with this and that?" He said, "I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air." He's not impressed when David runs out there. He beats his chest like a big gorilla. David wasn't intimidated either. He said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts whom you've defiled." So you're just like, hide the women and children. Pray, church. We don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be bad. We're expecting bloodshed. You're going to feel resistance. But if you'll just stay in the battle, if you'll just get in there and resist. The Bible said resist the devil, he will flee from you. You just got to stay in there when he roars. You got to stay in there when he fights back. You got to stay in there when you decide to have a prayer meeting in your house and you can't feel the Spirit of God and the enemy's resisting you and everything seems to be going wrong. Come on, it's a battle. He's going to fight back. You're going to get hit every once in a while. Amen. You're going to feel the resistance. You're going to feel back in the old church. Heard him talk about Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was raised going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. When I pastored in Lynchburg, we had Tuesday night, Thursday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And that's just until we had revival. That just kept us going until revival hit. And so back in the old church, we used to have these tarrying services and people would come to the altar and they'd pray for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, sometimes an hour, sometimes 2 hours. Sometimes they'd pray into the night and it was the battle. It was fighting for a breakthrough. It was pray until we feel something. It was pray until we get broke through. We've become so soft and we've become so fragile and we've become so shallow. Sometimes you got to stay in there till the thing breaks. You got to stay with it until you feel the enemy begin to retreat. You got to keep speaking. You got to keep praying. You got to keep coming to church. You got to keep worshiping. You got to keep your faith up. You got to keep your mind made up. You got to wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. The Lord is with me. Amen. You got to wake up every day with a faith declaration. And you got to lean into the wind and say, devil, you can fight, but you cannot win. This is the battle. In that old ancient warfare, they'd line up tens of thousands of men on one hillside and tens of thousands of men on the other hillside. And when the horn sounded, they just ran together and everybody started fighting. And you didn't know who was winning or what was happening. The battle was on. But here's what happens in stage two. When you resist, the enemy flees. And when the enemy starts to fall back, when you push and you feel him give a little, when you say in Jesus' name and you feel you picked up a little ground, I'm making a little progress. I'm doing a little better than I was doing. I'm a little stronger than I was. Things have turned a little bit in my favor. Things are starting to work out here. That's when you got to go into the pursuit. When the enemy is being defeated, you got to pursue. When the enemy starts backing up, you got to keep pushing. What we do is we pray till we get a breakthrough and then we go get something to eat. No, when he starts backing up, you got to start taking ground. When he starts falling back, I claim that, I claim this, I claim that, I claim that. I claim it, I possess it, I walk in it. You've lost it, I've gained it. Yeah, and it's already happening. This phase is characterized by the shout. Because when you realize you're winning, I said when you realize you're winning. Back in the Civil War, the rebels had what they called the rebel yell. Back in the old ancient warfares, when they would be in there fighting and they would realize and they were beginning to break through their ranks, somebody take that sword and start banging it against their shield, and then 1,000 of them would do it, and then somebody would let out a war yell and they'd all start yelling, and with the shout of victory and with the shout of triumph, they would be encouraged to press on and to shout and roar. That's why the Bible said, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. If anybody feels like you might be winning, if anybody feels like the devil might be losing his grip, if you feel like you're going to get the victory, somebody ought to shout hallelujah as a high praise. Somebody ought to shout Jesus. Somebody ought to give the Lord a shout of glorious, magnificent victory. Hallelujah! Woo! Come to church, sing these songs. People get to shout, and they say, "What are they shouting about?" They're winning. Somebody just buried a husband, buried a son or a daughter, got fired from their job, got a bad doctor's report. They're shouting. What are they shouting about? They're winning. I'm overcoming. I've been fighting, but he's not winning. Here I am. I'm still here. I'm still saved. I'm still worshiping. The whole battle with Job was for his worship. The devil said, if you just take his stuff away, he won't worship you. He's increased with goods. Take his stuff. Took all of his stuff and he still worshiped. Said, yeah, skin for skin, if you take his health, he'll curse you to your face. Now he's got boils, skin worms. He can't even sit comfortable. And he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I know those skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see God. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the latter day, it was a fight for his worship. He said, you can have all my stuff, all my bank accounts, take everything that has any earthly value, I'll still worship God. You can make me sick and I'll still worship God. And I'm worshiping because he's the Lord of glory. I'm shouting because I'm winning. I said we shout because we're winning. Is anybody winning? Is anybody overcoming? Is anybody, you've got loss, you've got hurt, you've got pain, you've been bruised and beaten by the battle, but you still got your faith. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. If that's you, shout yes. All right, I got to hurry to a close. I'm 6 minutes over my time. Third stage, the gates. So you get the enemy on the run, and he's retreating, and you're chasing, and where does this thing go? Where does he run to? Well, the enemy runs back to his stronghold, runs back to his fortified place, runs back to his city with the walls and the gates. And so the enemy retreats behind the gates of its stronghold. So now we have to go hit the gates. Matthew 6:18 says, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me show you how this works. Brother Sapp, come stand right here facing me, but stand on that. All right, brother, come stand next to him. Brother, come stand next to him. You want to come stand? Okay. I need four of you guys over here. Come. And I want you to come on this side facing those guys from about right here. First person, stand right there. Hallelujah. Stand right there. Come stand right there. Facing them guys. Okay, come a little closer. Put your arms out. Too close. Put both your hands out. Both of them. All right. You get to the gates. And when you get to the gates, the way they would handle the gates is they had what they called a battering ram. It was like a big giant log. And they would take that and they would back it up and slam it into the gates. And they would back it up and slam it into the gates. So I want y'all to act like you've got that battering ram. You've got a hold of it. He's got a hold of it. And just back it up and slam it. You don't have to worry about touching each other's hand. Back up a little bit because you got a battering ram between you. There they go. Now, I like to think of it like this right here. Jesus. Jesus, 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 the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church or against my family. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my finances. So every time you come to church, it's another battering ram. Every time you come to the altar, it's another battering ram hit on the gates. Every time you shout hallelujah, you've hit them gates again. Pastor, every time you preach, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Every time you preach, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We're hammering against the gates of hell. Every time we preach, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Every time we preach, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, we're battering ram against the gates of hell. Every time you teach a Bible study, every time you lay your hands on someone, every time you pray over the telephone, every time you read your Bible, every time you walk through your house praying, it's that battering ram against the gates of hell, and they shall not prevail against the church. We're in the battle, but we're going to have the breakthrough. I feel it breaking through right now in the name of Jesus. Say, I've been praying, nothing happening. Oh, yeah. You've been battering the gates of hell. You say, we've been singing, but nothing happening. We've been battering the gates of hell. Said, I've been going to church, but nothing happening. You've been battering against the gates of hell. And I'm going to prophesy to you. You keep attacking, and you're going to have a breakthrough. I said, you're going to have a breakthrough. The gates of hell will not hold long. They're going to bust open. And here's what happens. The last stage of the battle. Stage 4. You're going to like this one. Help me back there. Put it on the screen. I want them to see it. You're going to like stage 4. That's the spoil. Once the gates break, we enter the city. And you're going to go to the enemy's camp and take back what he took from me. They're captives behind them gates. They've got our sons and daughters, husbands and wives. Lost souls of our city are behind the gates. We're going to rush in, and we're going to pick up some captives. We're come to get you out of here. We've come to save you from this lost world. Somebody shout yes! Now, we get the spoil, which means we have, at the church level, we have revival. People are getting baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Demonic spirits are being cast out. Healings are coming, deliverances are coming. Bondages are breaking, the church is growing, the money's coming in. The buildings are being built. We're getting the spoil. And just to remind you, we're not in this thing by ourselves. The angels join us in war. Psalms 35, David prayed, let the angel of the Lord persecute them. David said, Lord, send your angel and let your angel oppress them. Psalms 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Exodus 23, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and bring you in the place whereunto I have chosen. I don't have time to talk to you about the angel that was with Israel. I'll end with this one. At Jericho. No, I got to skip Jericho too. Let's talk about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat gets a prophetic word. You're not going to need to fight in this battle, for the Lord has already given the battle to you. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So Jehoshaphat will say, well, if that's the way it's going to be, if we're not going to have to fight, all you guys with swords, get to the back. Pick up all your shields and get back there. Get me some singers up here. Come on, singers. Get me some musicians up here. Get me somebody can beat a drum and tap a keyboard and strum a guitar and sing a song. Watch, watch. Because if we're not going to have to war, we may as well worship. Because the Lord likes worship better than war anyhow. So much so that the Bible says, when they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushments. He said, I'll make a deal with you, my children. If you'll worship more, you'll warfare less. Because while you're worshiping, I'll do the battle on your behalf. I feel like angels are going to go out of this place today. Now, here's the altar call. Watch. 4 stages of battle. First one is strength against strength. That's the battle. That's the fight. That's what you go through all week long in your life. Working your jobs, dealing with life, all the setbacks, financial stress, dealing with the family, that's the battle. You against the devil out there. Then you get to church. That's stage 2. Now you get to shout. Amen. You get here and you realize he fought me all week, but here I am. Every worship service is a shouting service because it's a celebration of another week of victory. Amen. We resist the devil and he had to flee. Amen. We've got him on the run. Then we get to the battering ram. We get to the gates, and pastor takes the pulpit and starts preaching like I've been doing. I've been battling and fighting and warring and hammering and hitting and pushing and breaking through. And you've been doing it with me. And all together, we've been in unity till we feel this breakthrough. That's what the preaching does. Then we get to the altar call. That's the spoil. Once we break through, we charge in. Now, here's what I want you to get. Spoil is different than harvest. Harvest is what every church does all the time, and we have to continue. We plow, we plant, God gives the increase, and then we grow. We have to do the work of plowing and planting. We have to teach Bible studies and witness and bring people to church and pray our prayers and have our family devotion. This is all part of the ongoing process for our future. But when we get into the battle and you get into spoil, spoil doesn't come sometime when the harvest season comes. Spoil comes right now. When you win right now, you get spoil right now. When they spoiled the Egyptians, they took it with them in their pockets. When those four lepers spoiled the Syrians, they went into their tents and they took it home. I feel like there's some spoil in the house today for a church that's been in warfare, for somebody that's been in warfare. So what we're going to do is what Jehoshaphat did. We're going to sing. We're going to shout. We're going to worship unto the Lord. And I want somebody that feels like I've been in the battle and I need a little spoil from the Lord. I just need a little spoiling from the presence of God here today. Somebody want the Lord to refill you with His Holy Spirit? You want to feel the joy of the Lord spring up like a well? Why don't you let the Lord just kind of cater to you for a few minutes here? We're in the victory circle. We're in the victory lap. We've fought and won. We're going to sing to the Lord. Altar's open. You need the Holy Ghost? Come, I'll pray for you. You need a miracle? Come on, we'll pray for you. You need a breakthrough? Come and stand and lift your hands. Get under the glory cloud of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. His angels are all over this house. The help of the Lord is available for every soul. We are victorious in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No name like Jesus. No name like Jesus. Get lost in the presence of the Lord. Get lost in the Spirit of the Lord. Close your eyes and get lost in worship. Get lost in praise. Lord, break every chain in her life today. In the name of Jesus, I pray the prayer of faith. Lord, I pray the prayer of faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Take her forward. I speak the word. I release in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. It's in our praise. I pray the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Get lost in it. Get lost in it. Get lost. lost in the Spirit, Jesus Christ. Lost, filled to overflowing. Lord, I pray the mighty prayer of faith. Let the anointing of the Lord touch her from the top of her head.
Jesus.
Come on, get lost in the Spirit here today.
Jesus.
Strengthen us in body, mind, spirit. Touch my brother in the name of the Lord. Overflowing power. Lord, I pray the prayer of faith right now. Come, Holy Ghost, come, power of the Lord. The overflowing of the power of the Spirit in the name of the Lord. The more you praise Him, the more you'll feel Him. The more you worship Him, the more you'll feel Him.
Every knee
shall bow. Lord, I pray the prayer of faith over my brother. I ask you to touch him.
Every tongue.
His attention get on you, Lord.
But Jesus
in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, touch and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. The power of the Holy Ghost.
Every knee shall bow.
Lord, let the power of the Spirit in the
world.
Let the anointing be the
Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord.
Jesus Christ is
the Lord. If you pray, if you pray,
I just can't stop.
Can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. I just can't stop praising Him. Can't stop. I just can't stop praising His name. I got the victory. I've got it. Jesus.
Here's what I want to challenge you to do. Folks, I've been preaching for 32 years. I've been doing this a long time. I can tell you what works. If you'll close your eyes and just don't open them for just a little while, at least for several minutes. And you'll just worship the Lord sincerely right out of your heart. Everything that's flowing in this house will start flowing in, not just on. But a lot of folks just sort of standing, looking around, watching. I mean, that's nice. Feel the Lord, you're in His presence. But if you want the power to get really down on the inside, close your eyes right now. Lift your hands in a comfortable measure, however you're comfortable with your hands. With your eyes closed, just sort of tilt your head up toward heaven a little bit. And by the authority of the Word of God, and by the power of the name Jesus, I release the prophetic word of this sermon into your life and into your future. Now would you shout with the voice of triumph, hallelujah!
Come on, I got the victory in Jesus. I got the victory. I got it. Hallelujah. I won't turn back. Jesus.
In the name of the Lord, I release and loose you. In
back.
Jesus' name.
Come on. I won't turn back, no.
Lord, I pray over Dee Dee today again. By the authority that is upon me as a man of God, I cover you. I loose you and liberate you to do what's in your heart to serve the Lord. Do what's in your heart to have faith in God. Lord, give her the victory and the breakthrough over and over and over and over again. Victory to victory, faith to faith, mountain to mountain, in the name of the Lord.
One more time, come on. You don't have to wait.
Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray today over Sophie. I pray today that you would touch her future. Let divine destiny, Lord, come into her life. Let her be led by the voice of the Lord and not the voices of the world. Let her be led by her hunger for God and not voices of worldliness and ungodliness. Protect her, keep her, order her steps and her pathway in the name of the Lord. Come on, Sophie, call out to the Lord. Call out for the Lord.
No, I won't turn. The road is hot,
the road is hot, but it's not too hot.
The enemy is near.
Somebody got a stroke.
Lord, I pray the prayer of faith. I curse this stroke. Deliver her from the effects of this stroke. I reverse it. And I restore you. I restore you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I restore your health, your motor skills, brain cells. In the name of Jesus.
No.
Somebody shout.
Power in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. No other name given that by which a man can be saved. Jesus. Come on. Jesus, I'm healed.
Lord, let the power of the Holy Ghost be his strength.
I'm delivered.
Let it be his power.
Jesus,
every day,
come on.
Every day,
Jesus,
every
in my
day.
House. Jesus.
Walking in the Spirit
Jesus.
With the help
Jesus.
Of the Lord.
Jesus.
Keep him safe on the roads.
Jesus.
I pray in the
Jesus.
Name
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Jesus.
I bless you,
Jesus.
Him.
Come
I pray
on.
The prayer of blessing.
Everybody say Jesus.
I pray the prayer of God's favor on you. Lord, order the next few months and the next few years. They're strategic times.
Jesus.
Let him get it right.
Come on.
In the name
Jesus.
Of the Lord. Bless you, Jim.
Jesus.
Bless you, Jim.
Bow in the name of Jesus. Jesus. No other name. No other name. No other name. No other name, no other name, no other name,
Jesus,
Jesus. No other name, no other name, no other name,
go ahead and break.
No other name, no other name, no. No other name, no other name, Jesus. Come on.
Jesus, Jesus. Going, but just bring it down a little bit. Keep it going in the name of the Lord. I prophesy over your life right now. I speak victory. I declare victory over your adversary. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon will complete its work. No voice against you will accomplish its purpose. No accusation against you will accomplish destruction. You will be victorious over every adversary. You will overcome every stumbling block. The enemy will have no power against you at all. In the name of the Lord, you will not be fearful. You will not be intimidated. The enemy will not make spoil of you. I declare prophetically, you will not be taken advantage of. You will not be used by employers. You will not be used by people you do business with. You will not be treated unfairly. The Lord will expose every unjust, shameful, and evil work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make truth prevail in your life. Make truth prevail, not only the truth of religious doctrine and biblical truth, but you will know truth concerning business affairs. You will know truth in your family. You will know truth when people lie to you. The discerning of spirits will be activated in you, and you will know. I prophesy into your life. You will be profitable in business. You will be profitable in finance. I release the spoil, the blessing of the Lord upon you. We will receive the spoil of backsliders, the spoil of lost souls, the spoil of blessing, of finance, material things, lands, houses. The spoil included the financial prosperity and blessing of your people, Lord. And I release it upon those that are here today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak prophetically, may you prosper in your career, prosper in your education, prosper in your relationships, prosper in your plans for the future. May the mighty hand of God be upon you to multiply the work of your hands. The decisions you make, may they be decisions directed by the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord, I speak victory. I declare you an overcoming people by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. In the name of Jesus. Why don't you lift your hands and tell the Lord you received those prophetic words? I receive the prophetic words into my life. I receive strength in the name of Jesus. I pray the prayer of faith for healing. I pray the prayer of faith for healing in our bodies physically. I curse high blood pressure and low blood pressure in the name of Jesus, and sugar diabetes come under the authority of the name of Jesus, and lupus and arthritis under authority in the name of Jesus. I curse and cast out every cancer, every malignancy, every tumor, every rash, every growth, every bump and lump, every cyst. In the name of the Lord, I command you to dry up, disappear, and be gone from the bodies of the people of the Lord. And I command it through the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I release the gifts of healing. I release the power of miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be a spirit-filled people, praying in the Holy Ghost, worshiping in the Spirit, preaching in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let us take it to our homes, to our cars, to our families. Lord, I pray, let there be prayer meetings in houses. Let there be prayer meetings sitting on our sofas and in our dens and at our kitchen tables. In the name of the Lord, let us take the victory home. Let us, Lord, allow the kingdom of God to expand. Allow the kingdom of God to expand into our homes, into our cars, into our minds and emotions, and into our hearts. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said right out loud, in Jesus' name. You understand that the whole issue here is doing everything we can to expand and enlarge and further the kingdom of God. Which means every conversation you have with somebody about the Lord is spiritual warfare. Every prayer you pray over the telephone with somebody is spiritual warfare. You don't even have to mention the devil. As a matter of fact, the less you mention him, the better off you are. Ignore him as long as you can. But every time you pray a prayer of faith over the phone, speak a word of healing, show somebody love and compassion in the name of Jesus, you're expanding the kingdom. We've gained some ground. The battle's being won. Amen. Every prayer meeting you have at your house, every time you sing out loud, every time you worship, you can be washing dishes and praising the Lord. You're expanding the kingdom. Let it expand in your mind. Let it expand in your emotion. Let it expand in your spirit. Let it expand in your family. And ultimately, of course, we see it at the church. The church gets larger. The spirit gets stronger. The blessings get better. Remember, part of the spoil, we not only set the captives free, but when they spoiled, they got all the stuff. So part of the spoil is material or financial blessing upon you and your home. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, anybody that's in a lawsuit, maybe you were in a car wreck or were injured or have a medical situation, or you were wronged in a real estate deal or in some other legal transaction, and there is legal battle, I pray that it will be turned in your favor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, be the righteous judge and be the advocate on behalf of your people. For those that have been wronged or wounded by the devious affairs of evil men and women of this world. And I pray, Lord, right now, not let any of us be taken captive, manipulated, deceived, or made pawns by the political process that is going on in our world. Let our eyes be open and let us have good judgment and rightly dividing and clear understanding of what is the best things that we can do and how to be involved in the name of the Lord. The last thing I'll tell you as I turn this to Pastor, it would be nice, and I'm fighting this in the churches that I visit. So many people have developed this fatalistic mentality. Well, whatever will be, nothing we can do about it. Just, you know, God's in charge. Doesn't matter what happens. Let me explain something to you. God is in charge. And what you read in the book of Revelations is going to happen. But how we fare, where we are, and what happens in our country, and how, what part we play, that's up to us. And you can say whatever will be, and God's in charge, but you have a moral obligation to use your voice and be active. Of course, I think you ought to vote. And of course, if you're not registered, there's nothing you can do about that now. But I think every Christian ought to vote. And I think when we have opportunity, we ought to talk to the people who have political influence and power and tell them how we feel about things. And I think we ought to pray for them. And this idea of sitting back on our hands is just dumb. And God will work, but he said, who will let it? He's going to need hands to work through and a voice to speak through. And he's going to need somebody to get out there and do something that he can bless. It's not going to fall out of the sky. But we go to work, God will bless the work of our hands. Amen. I've been very, I know I need to stop talking. This is not my church. You're the pastor. But these are just general things. I've been very blessed and very encouraged by something that I've watched. The son of Billy Graham, the great evangelist, his son has been going around the country doing these prayer rallies. They've been going into every state and holding prayer rallies at the courthouse. They got people of all religions there and politicians. They're just praying for America. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been retweeting all their tweets, and I've been, every time I see them on Facebook, I've joined in and prayed with them. Because I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter what denomination you're of, if you're praying, prayer is good. Now, I have differences of doctrine between different religions, and I believe to stand for what I believe is right by the word of God. But if somebody wants to pray, I'll pray. Let's pray for God to save our nation. There's a whole lot of this stuff we agree on. And so we can find some common ground. Amen. I'm done.
Everybody say faith without works. It's dead. Wow. What a word. Thank you, Brother Kleindienst. Letting the Lord use you. I want to know, did we hear from God today? I've never been so happy to be in war in all my life. We're going to get out that battling ram, knock that gate down. We're going to go in and get some spoil. Amen? God bless you. Be kind to one another. You're dismissed. Fellowship, you have a whole hour. It's only 1 o'clock. We let you out early because we love you. Be good to one another. Support one another. Speak well of one another.